Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Jaguar Zone. I am your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Happy Columbus Day. I feel like if Columbus had sailed to Jacksonville and not somewhere in Latin America or wherever they're saying he had, you know, I think it would have been very cool to maybe be the Jaguar Explorers, or, you know, if Columbus did actually land in Jacksonville, I do believe he would have been part of the Teal City for sure. But, like I said, it's good to be here. Happy Columbus Day once again. Columbus Day is always a fun day anyway, whether you're off work or not. It just seems like kind of a lax, you know, chill day, which is good because there's a lot to talk about. You know, I'm going to give a review of the game against Tennessee over the weekend. I'm going to kind of set you up for the Browns coming to town this coming up Sunday. Give you some game notes, some things I look at. Just different things going on, and my good buddy, and he contributes to the show a good bit, Frank Scuduto, I apologize, I'm trying to get that right, has sent me some of his game notes on Blake Bortles, and was going to kind of go over those a little bit, because I think he's dead on a majority of the things he writes, And to me, it's good. I don't want to 100% agree with anybody. I don't 100% agree with myself sometimes. But as long as I'm talking Jaguars, it's a good day. You know, real quickly, or not really real quickly, let's just get right into it. Let's talk about that game. 16-14 was the final, but it felt like the entire game the Jaguars were in this one. And they were, all the way up to the very end. You know, I told you various ways that you can stop Charlie Whitehurst, or Jesus, as I like to call him, and that's not a religious knock, and please don't send me your hate mail regarding that. It's just the appearance that he gives off, and he's just a super nice guy anyway. Like I said, I was able to meet him a couple years ago. He's a cool guy. I hate that he happened to be playing for the other team, because I like him to do well. But I said the best thing to do with Charlie Whitehurst is you want to keep him contained in the pocket. You want to keep him in the pocket, but keep it closed. Now, he's not much of a scrambler, although he can if he has to, and the best way to do it is to put him on his backside, and if you're able to knock him down at least, then it usually gives you a pretty good chance. And I mean, they were able to be physical. I mean, yeah, the defense was able to be physical with Whitehurst, which helped. Tennessee doesn't have the best offensive line. They're not the worst either. They're pretty decent, and they're getting pretty solid playing next to each other. Couple new faces for them. But to limit Whitehurst to, you know, say he was 17 completions on 28 attempts, 233 yards, no touchdowns, but no interceptions as well. I mean, you know what? He didn't really account for any of it then. I'm good with that. I mean, to be fair, they only scored two touchdowns. No, they only scored one touchdown. I stand corrected. They only scored the one touchdown, and that was a rush by Jackie Battle for 1 yard. That means that was a goal line thing. That's fine. Bishop Sankey, who's going to be a good runner in this league, had 61 yards, including the 22-yard burst he had. But once again, you got to look at one of the problems that Jacksonville has had this year and last year and the last couple years, really, is their run defense. People have been able to run all over them. I've seen everybody from Andre Ellington to anybody that the Colts tried out there. For some reason, the Colts just have figured out something. I don't know. I think we can stop them, but that's another week. But to look and to say that, you know, they have Bishop Sankey, they have, you know, Jackie Battles is going to be pretty good too. Leon Washington is better at returning, but, you know, he's kind of a Sproles-like player sometimes. Never know what he's going to do. you know, Whitehurst was only able to get 2 yards out of it. Dexter McCluster, 3 yards was his longest. I mean, he got 6 yards total, but, I mean, that's a running back. So, combined, you held them to under 100 yards. Now, granted, they've got some weapons that Whitehurst was able to hit. Justin Hunter, 77 yards, 57 for Delaney Walker. McCluster at 52. Nate and Leon Washington, 23-11. You know, just little pot shot passes with some of those. You know, Justin Hunter's kind of their focus, so, you know, he's going to get his big yardage. And Delaney Walker's, you know, usually pretty solid, McCluster as well. But I'm pretty happy that you know, they were held to as few yards as they did. Now, on the other side of that, remember what I said. Charlie Whitehurst threw 28 passes. Now, he's just under what I typically say, but that's okay. Because, like I said, 30 to 40, usually with a new quarterback, 35 should be a max. Just going to say that before I read you this next stat. Blake Bortles, this weekend against those Tennessee Titans, 32 completions. I don't have a problem with that. 46 attempts. Granted, he did have 336 yards. He did throw the pick. I don't know what happened there. Maybe he slipped. Maybe he just he thought he could edge it in. I don't know. I've watched it a couple times now, and whatever it was, it still counts as interception. Whether no matter where we want to put the fault or anything like that. And I don't at this point. We'll just just brush it right off the shoulder. Did throw the touchdown to Clay Harbor. I'm glad to see Clay Harbor back playing the way we all knew he could. I mean, you look at some of the stats here, and then Bortles was, you know, he's been second and third in rushing this week each game. Now he's your top rusher, 5 attempts for 38 yards. Why is your quarterback the top rusher? Well, the reason is nobody behind him can get any traction. Storm Johnson had more carries than Denard Robinson, had twice as many, actually. He had 10 to Denard's 5, but they had pretty much the same yardage. 22 for Denard. Storm had 21. Todman just can't seem to get out of the gate. I understand some of this falls on the offensive linemen and the certain schemes and stuff like that. No, it's not time to fire people. No, we're not talking about the draft. I tell you what, if you guys that follow this show and send me your feedback and your comments and your questions and all this stuff, if you guys want to talk about the draft, you got to wait to at least after the bye week. So I don't want to hear about the draft until after, was the 16th? November 16th. Got a game on the 23rd against the Colts, but, you know, after that game against the Cowboys on November 9th, don't want to hear it. After the bye week, okay, if you guys want to start talking draft then, you have to stay with this team. They're your team. They're our team. You have to be able to stay with this team and show them the support. Like I said, don't. I had some, it was non-Jaguar fans. It was actually, with the Bears being in against the Falcons. I've talked to a lot of their fans here recently. And a lot of Falcons fans, I think they're kind of, I'm not sure what's going on with some of them, because you can talk to one fan and they're not representative of all of them. But there was a lot of them that are like, so the Jaguars are going to get a good pick next year. I don't know that. Nobody knows that. You know when we'll know that? After week 16. You know, after we play all the games, then we'll start talking about a draft. Because for right now, it's still up in the air. The Jaguars are only 0-6. Guess what? You play 16 games. So if you win the next 10, you're 10-6. You're probably getting a wild card. You may win the division. Who knows? The Colts do have kind of a cushy schedule, but that doesn't mean anything. This year in this league, I mean, every game is a coin flip. It doesn't matter who's favored and what. I mean, yeah, I'll happily say that I called the Cowboys win over Seattle, but you never know. All these games can swing either way. The thing I don't like is at 17 or fewer points all season. That so far 17 has been the cap, and the Jaguars have scored 17 twice. They've done 14 twice. They've done 10, and they've done 9. If you want to win football games in the National Football League, you've got to score between 21 and 24 on a consistent basis to even give yourself a chance. There's a lot of good things I like here, and like I said, I'll get into some Blake Bortles stuff here in a minute. This was another close loss. The key here is with the injuries and getting guys back, especially the wide receivers. You know, Cecil Shorts comes back. He had a hell of a day. Cecil Shorts had his first 100-yard receiving game of his career, and he also had a career-high 10 receptions. This is the Cecil Shorts we've been waiting to see. You know, Allen Robinson continues to get yardage. Clay Harbor stepped up, had the huge run, or the huge catch and run. I mean, these are, as far as receivers go, I don't have receivers and tight ends. I'm good. It's this running game that just, I mean, I know Gerhard didn't play, but let's be honest. Gerhard has not been, he's not been the guy we thought he was. And I'm not saying we should give up on him yet because I think it's too early. We need to get him healthy, need to get him 100%, and get him back going the way he used to play in Minnesota. Now, even at that, I don't know that he should be a feature back. I mean, look at what Atlanta does. Atlanta has four running backs, and they run, even though Steven Jackson is the starter, they will run Anton Smith, who's had like a touchdown the last four games. They run Devontae Freeman as a changeup. They run Jaquizz Rodgers. They run these four. They even have Josh Smith, I believe, that is a fifth running back, which I wouldn't normally say carry five running backs, but they make it work. And they just divide up the yards where everybody has 20 yards apiece pretty much, or 30, or somebody will have a burst and have a 50-yard game. I think it's where the Jaguars should go. We know Blake can throw the ball. We know he's going to get it, and we know those guys can catch. We know that connection's fine. But as far as running the ball, at some point, maybe they should start dividing it up and try to – and not like an equal thing, like, oh, you got five, well, we got to make sure and give you five, and we got to give you five, and, oh, you had six, and now we got to give another. No, it's – you kind of run the hot hand, and you run the change-up back, whichever fits what you're trying to do. You know, if you're backed up at a certain spot in the game and you say, hey, we need a good run to the outside, okay, maybe you want to put in Storm Johnson with his speed or Denard Robinson. Or you go, man, you know, we just need to pick up these last 2 or 3 yards and cap off this drive and at least get in field goal range or, you know, at least get the first down or cross the goal line. Well, you need a bruiser back then. Even Todman is good at short yardage, but, you know, maybe that's Gerhard territory. You got to play them to their strengths and what they actually are. I know you guys know a lot of this, but for anybody new to the show or just in case you forgot, you know, we are live here on Blog Talk Radio. I appreciate the guys at Blog Talk Radio always letting us on every Monday to talk Jaguars. If you do want to join us, 347-826-7448. Again, that's 347-826-7448. Would love to hear from you at this point. Would love to hear from you at any point. You know, let's talk some Bortles. Like I said, contributor to the show and a good friend of mine, Frank Scaduto, sent me some notes on. He's been really studying Bortles. He writes a lot of articles. You can catch him online. I'll put up some links. He's been really following Bortles because he believes this is going to be the guy. He writes a lot of stuff for about the Jaguars and all. You know, sometimes you can't help certain things when you play. You know, when you play football, you can't help certain injuries or certain players, and all you can do is try to play your game. Something he brings up is, you know, the 32 for 46 for 336 yards. Those are either set or tied Jaguars rookie records. He had the one touchdown, the one interception, but as I always say, the box score and the stat line does not always tell the story. You know, this is all according to Frank Scaduto. Once again, appreciate him sending it in. Always good to hear from him. We'll have to get him on sometime so you guys can hear from him. He's always got a lot of good things to say. But he goes on, Bortles is quickly developing a reputation as a guy who can do more with less, you know, kind of like Aikman did before they put all the pieces around him. Because Aikman is a good quarterback, and a lot of people don't realize that. They think he was just a good player on a great team. And it's like, not really, because he did some things before they built that team to be the big powerhouse that it was. You know, Bortles is 0-3 as a starter, but there have been two close games and one where he's just kind of getting his feet wet. He was sacked for six times yesterday. But, I mean, it was 16-7 at one point, and he cut it to 16-14. I mean, you got to think about it. The only reason Tennessee really won is because they kicked a lot of field goals, which means they weren't scoring touchdowns, which is part on their offense, but it's more Jaguars defense. The defense was able to step up and you know, the defense stepped up, kept him to field goal range. You know, this defense is, I think, it surprised many. We're not that surprised. We knew they were going to be good once they all started playing together. You know, penalties are another thing, and that's something you can work on. I know Gus has been after these guys. You know, just try to limit the penalties. And, you know, the penalties can really kill you. It was that one of those field goal drives for Tennessee. The penalties just, a couple penalties put them in field goal range. They were able to kick the field goal. Well, guess what? You pretty much lost by a field goal. You know, that one drive could have been it. You know, much of Bortles' yards were gained in the fourth quarter. It wasn't because there were backups in or nothing like that. It's just the Titans decided to change up their defensive scheme to try to limit the Jaguars' opportunities, and Bortles just started feasting on the matchups he was getting. Yeah, he says the same thing here, that you know, Cecil Shorts become the top target yesterday, as he probably will be. You know, fumbles are going to happen, like he says here. You know, Bortles did fumble in the fourth quarter, which we all saw. But he does now lead the league in third down completion percentage at 71.3. Wow, that's a good stat, Frank. And the average yards for a first down on those attempts is 8.68. These are ridiculously good numbers. You know, he is getting his feet in, under him. They're trusting him with a little more of the playbook and a little more. No, they're not even, I mean, you can't blame the play call, because right now I would be willing to bet they're using no more than 30 or 40% of the playbook. You always do that with a rookie, and you always do that with a new starter anyway, until they get enough under them. But, you know, as the season kind of progresses, we'll see more and more of these plays and how they open them up. And, you know, the sky's the limit on Blake Bortles. To me, he does play a lot like Big Ben Roethlisberger. I hope he's at least half as successful. Big Ben's had a pretty good career to this point. As was mentioned on another Impact Media show, the End Zone show on Thursdays, Big Ben could be on the free agent market next year. I don't think Jacksonville is going to make a play. I believe they have their own, and this one's 10 years younger. So there's no issues there. You know, as far as the defense, and once again, this is some things that Frank Scaduto writes a lot of articles for the Jaguars and a contributor to this show. As far as the defense, you know, they weren't able to get the pressure the way they wanted to on Charlie Whitehurst. They get beat by the big play a handful of times. And it's really too much that they're getting beat up like this. They were able to hold the Titans to just those field goals when there were a lot of times when they could have really broke it open. And he does quote Bradley in what he said in an interview last week, that the rookies are no longer rookies. They must now perform. And it's true. In this system and really in the NFL, yeah, technically your first year is technically a rookie year. But as far as these teams are concerned, as soon as you put the pads on and walk out on the field, you're a pro. You're a pro before that, but I mean you're considered pro there. You're no longer hey rookie. It's hey right tackle, I need you over there. Hey wide receiver guy, over there. Whether they know your name or not, you're no longer the rookie. You need to step up and play like, you know, the superstar you're supposed to be. And, you know, I like that Gus Bradley also, and Frank makes mention of this as well. I like that he says that it was a moral victory. Well, yeah, it was. But at the same time, there's some things that I think they're going to change up this week. I've heard some rumblings of some things. I mean, it's nothing drastic or anything like that. Could be some personnel related. As soon as I know those, I will tweet those out to either the show Twitter, which is at 3endzone, or at the Impact 99, my own personal one. If you guys follow on there, you will, as soon as I hear something. I'm hearing rumblings, but, you know, then again, I heard a lot of rumblings from the draft all the way up till, you know, just 5 minutes before I came on here from all different teams. And there were some deals on the table that never got signed from various teams. The Jaguars pretty much have taken most of the opportunities they've had, and they were able to draft the guys they wanted, were able to sign the guys they wanted. So, you know, didn't have to worry about a whole lot of real shakeups. But like I said, as I hear more, I will definitely let you guys know about that. And as we're in the final few moments here on Blog Talk Radio for Jaguar Zone, I just appreciate you guys that tune in each week. And it's always good. Like I said, I always consider it it's a highlight of my week for sure. And I hope it's a highlight of you guys that I get to come on here and talk about the Jaguars and just, you know, just really have fun with it. And I'd love to hear from you guys in case you guys want to call in or text in or tweet in or if there's a new social media I don't know about, if you want to Instagram us, at the Impact 99 is mine. Would love to see your Jaguar fan photos. If you run into any of the friends of the show, you know, Jackson DeVille, Curtis Dvorak, if you run into the Bowl City Brigade, the Teal Street Hooligans, you know, any of those guys, tweet us the picture, Instagram us the picture, tag us in it. And we'll put that up on the Facebook page and all that, and show everybody how much fun it is to be down, you know, to be down there and to have it's just a wonderful fan base. I always enjoy just being in Jacksonville. It's a great city, but you guys, you the fans, make it so worth it every week. Oh, can't forget, if you run into a great friend of the show, Casey Jones, make sure you check in with him, and maybe he can still get you some good tickets, some good ticket packages available. And if nothing else, go have a taco salad, because from what he says, those are amazing. I'm going to have to get over there and get those at some point. But what is coming up, and we all know it, everybody's favorite... how do I want to phrase that? Everybody's favorite clipboard holder will be in town this Sunday. And who is that, you ask? That's one Johnny Manziel. Now, I like to call him everybody's favorite clipboard holder. He seems like just a class act, cool guy. But Brian Hoyer, who since last year I have said is their best option for Cleveland, the guy is just, he backed up Brady for a couple years, so he definitely knows what he's doing. And I'm not saying that all his backups are great, but Hoyer got some action while he was there, and he was able to do some good things. The keys to stopping the Cleveland Browns, once again, get pressure, on Hoyer. Make him a little uneasy. Make him see those ghosts. Those phantom tacklers make him run into your own. The key to their run game, they love to go between the tackles and the guards. They're not up the middle style. They like to go between the left guard, left tackle, or they like to go right guard, right tackle. They don't go up the middle a whole lot, and they, or at least the play call is not up the middle a whole lot, and it's not for the edges. So, you know, for the most part, if they're going to go there, force them back to the middle. You kind of want to wedge around like you're taking your two hands, like you're going to pick up a big jar or something like that, like you're going to come from the outsides. And I apologize that this is radio, so you can't see the motions I'm making, but we're hoping by November that this will be a video cast as well. You'll be able to see exactly what I'm doing. But like you're going to pick up a big jar, so you want to come around, you want to force them to the middle, because that's where their weak point of their line is. And just, you know, keep pretty much doing what you're doing with the coverage, and it'll limit his ability to throw to people and to hit some of these guys they have. Because, you know, they don't really need Josh Gordon. The same way that Justin Blackmon, if he comes back, that'd be great. Jaguars would love to have him, but both these teams are proving that they don't need their big star stud receiver to win games, because you have other playmakers. Now, the Browns do have a sneaky good defense. But the key to this is the right balance of plays. And that's not, once again, oh, we did 25 runs, we should pass 25 times. It's like, no, you have to look. Safeties decide to come up, you need to throw it. Spread the ball out just as much as you can. You see those safeties drifting back a little bit, it's time to run. And like I said, there, you know, with all the different running backs there are, change it up. Pull in Atlanta, you know. Play four of them and just keep interchanging them and keep them fresh the whole time. Maybe change up some formations and maybe do some wing tees and you know, two and three tight end sets. It works for Cleveland. They made a mockery of Big Ben and the Steelers, especially Troy Polamalu. Use their own stuff against them. Like I said, I don't just come here and blow smoke every week just trying to tell you that the Jaguars are going to win every week. There's a chance they could win, a chance they could lose every week. That's why we watch the game. But I'm telling you, if they do those things, they're going to give Cleveland a run for their money. And I will definitely be watching. I hope you guys will be watching. But that's going to do it for me for Jaguar Zone this week. I am your host, Jeremy York. Jeremy the Impact York. I like throwing that in. You can always hit us up on Twitter at 3endzone, hashtag it JaguarZone, and would love to hear from you. At the Impact 99, once again, you can hashtag that JaguarZone, all one word. Would love to hear from you, and once again, want to thank Blog Talk Radio for allowing us to come on here and talk Jaguars. And this week in Impact Media, I believe tomorrow night will be at the SEC show with myself and Mr. Joe Pym. That's going to be exciting because I know a lot of you guys are Gator fans as well. And obviously Thursday will be the big show with myself, Coach Hill, and Reggie Walker, the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show. We should be joined by Mr. Chuck Smith this week of Falcons fame. But for Impact Media and Jaguar Zone, I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We'll see you guys next week.